Hello, everybody. Can you hear me? Great. Yeah, that sounds good, doesn't it? Look at this. There's a dime here. Whoop. There's a week's worth of my wages here. That's not true. I was thinking, though, there was a day when a dime could get you like a bag of chips and a pop. That tells you how old I am. We used to get so excited if we found a dime. Now it's like, yeah, well, who wants a dime? We got some kids that might want a dime. Well, let's just quickly pray, and I just believe that when we come to this part of the service, which is worship as well, this whole thing is called a worship service, amen? And so, but I do believe we need to just, for a moment, all of us, just sort of focus ourselves, because we're going to hear His Word now. And I've watched different, you know, some different televangelists, not that I don't want to, but good ones who, actually I love the way they'll get the book and they'll say, you know, I believe this book will change my life. I believe the word that I'm going to hear this morning will actually change my life. That the words of this book have power. And so we're going to hear God's word right now, so let's bow our heads and prepare our hearts. Lord, we just invite your Spirit to come right now. Right in this place, Lord. And we want to open up our minds to your truth, open up our hearts. We want it to move from our minds up here and down into our very being, into what the Bible says, our gut, which is the heart, into our very core, Lord. So we pray that you would do that by your Spirit. I pray that the things I say would be from your heart, that they would be your truth. I pray you would help me to communicate it the way you want me to. And I do pray, Lord, that we would all of us have ears to hear and hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we are in our sermon four, week four of our convergence series. There's 8 weeks of this, so we're right in the middle of it. And if you're a regular attender here, then you know kind of what convergence is all about. But if you're a visitor here this morning, I'll give you a very short kind of setup for it. It is a book written by a pastor named John Thompson of C4 Church, a big, big church in Toronto. And they were primarily kind of a conservative evangelical church, but then they started to really look at the gifts of the Spirit and the importance of the gifts of the Spirit. And so what he kind of realized at a certain point was that for the church to truly minister the way that God intends for us to minister, we need to see Jesus not only as our Savior and Lord, not like, okay, we have our ticket to heaven, but we also need to see Him as our model for ministry. His life, the way He lived, the things He did while He walked the earth, they are a picture of what's possible for us, not just what's possible, but what we ought to be striving towards. Jesus, as we know, is God. God become a man. But in the incarnation, He emptied Himself, it says. He became a human being. So Jesus did not do ministry on earth out of His divine prerogative, out of His divine power, but instead He chose to limit Himself and really live as one of us, to be led by the Holy Spirit, which He receives at His baptism, and then operating in obedience to the Father, and through practicing the spiritual disciplines, and also experiencing and listening through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then doing all of it with the fruit of the Spirit. That those three things converging together in the church, when we have the practices, the spiritual practices that put us in front of the Holy Spirit, when we are open to the gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give us, and when we practice all of them bearing the fruit of the Spirit, then He says that translates into any culture, any time zone, any place. And that's when we, the church, are really living out what God wants us to live out. So that's what we're looking at. And this morning, we are going to look at the gifts of the Spirit. Unfortunately, we're not going to get into the specific gifts this morning. This is kind of a bit of an introduction to them and some things that we need to understand before we get right into it. So next week, we'll be starting to go through the list. Last week, I talked to you about the spiritual disciplines or practices that Jesus did and that are designed by God to put us in front of the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. And what we need to realize is the spiritual practices are about choices that we make. They are about choices we make, how we're going to live, things we're going to do. This morning, I want us to consider, though, some choices that God made to start off. When we surrendered our life to Jesus, it says that the Holy Spirit sealed us. Ephesians 1:14. It says that the Holy Spirit entered into us to live within us, Acts 1:5-8. And joined us, it says, to the body of Christ. These are choices that God has made, what He's done for us, nothing but what we've done for ourselves. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 12:12-14. And when He did all this, He gave us gifts. Gifts that He intends for us to use as He is working through us to accomplish His purposes in the world. And spiritual gifts are about serving others. So spiritual practices primarily, although we are serving other people, doing things for other people with the practices, but they generally are about transforming us more and more into the likeness of Christ. Spiritual gifts, when we exercise them, are about others. As a church that has always believed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that they're present and active today, we're kind of not in the same position that C4 Church was. And so, because of their past theological background, I think John takes a lot of time in the book to really defend the idea that the gifts of the Spirit are, in fact, for today. So I'm not going to do as much of that this morning. But I am going to say that we, like C4 Church, need to have a common language or a common script in order to really understand the gifts of the Spirit. What that means is we need to kind of see, there can be confusion even amongst the charismatic churches about what is a particular gift, how do we use that gift, and what are the pitfalls and all those kinds of things. So I want us in our church to be talking from the same page and understanding what we mean when we talk about that. So that's something that we're going to look at over the next few weeks. So, another thing that we should see right away is that both the spiritual practices and the spiritual gifts, if understood correctly, they undermine any thought about the lone wolf Christianity, the sort of self-sufficient, independent, me and God spirituality that we can sometimes see in our world and in the church. And that's because the spiritual disciplines are done often in the context of community, but it's particularly clear in the spiritual gifts, since these are intended for use within a body, meaning none of us have all of the gifts. And that in itself should tell us that we need each other. Do you follow me? So if you kind of think, oh, you know, I don't want to be connected to a, but it doesn't need to be this body, but we are meant to be together. Paul makes it very, very clear. But just the concept that the Spirit and how God distributes the gifts tells us He doesn't want us to be alone. Amen? So, with that in mind, let's start with what the spiritual gifts are not. And this is something that we sometimes get confused about. Spiritual gifts are not our natural talents. And I know that most of us might say, yeah, I know that, but think about it. We often sort of group them all together. Well, that's your spiritual gift, you know, is music. I'm not sure that music is one of the listed spiritual gifts. But that's still a gift. It's still something we use in the kingdom. It's still important. But that's not necessarily a spiritual gift. There's a difference between natural talents and spiritual gifts. All of us are born with genetic predispositions, things that we're better at than other things in our own life, or we're better at it than some other people around us. For instance, LeBron James has a built-in advantage against me when it comes to his potential as a basketball player. Think about that. His genetic muscle structure, his hand-eye coordination, his physical height. LeBron James has some true gifts, but they're not spiritual gifts. Another example, like I said earlier, would be music. Music comes easily to some people. Music, I don't know if it's totally true, but I think it comes really easy to Mike. And what I mean by that is, I've noticed this lately, because I love to play my guitar and to sing. And I've put my family through years of suffering as I tried to learn this. And what I realize is that I love it, and I actually am getting better at it. I think I'm not that bad at it. But it's not one of my natural gifts. I've noticed that because when I try to do, you know, the finger-picking stuff and then actually play the song, the melody line, like, I have to practice, like, for 6 months to get one song done. And Mike is someone that he hears it once and then he just does it. And I think that's unfair. I want to talk to the Lord about that. But that's what I mean. There are some, that's a natural gift. That's not a spiritual gift. Our natural abilities are given to us at birth by God when He knit us together in our mother's wombs. We didn't earn them. They are gifts from God, but they are not what we're talking about. They're not the spiritual gifts. And here's the thing. Here's why we kind of know that. Everyone, whether they are Christians or not, has these types of gifts. And you can improve on them without involving God really at all in the process. For instance, another talent we might have is a learned or developed skill. These may be natural abilities that then later on through training, through schooling, through repeated use get better and better. But there's a thing, again, anyone, whether they believe or not, can do this. It's a matter, in a sense, of our will. These things can and should be used for the glory of God. They're not bad things. They're good things. We need them. Desperately, we need them. But they are not the spiritual gifts. And they shouldn't be confused with the spiritual gifts. There is something very important to realize about all of this. Only, and you might, only a Christian can receive the gifts of the Spirit. And this too has been misunderstood in the church. There are other forces in this world we need to remember masquerading as angels of light who can give you power if you seek it. And this power is a counterfeit power, often looks like the gifts of the Spirit, but it denies the source. And we see it all around in the world. Even yesterday we were talking, we had grouped our leadership, and Matt Nodler was speaking to me. He said he remembers being on the set of The 13th Warrior. Is Matt here this morning? Where are you, Matt, now? You guys know Matt Nodler? He's the one that looks like Moses. And Matt, he was playing, I think, a Viking. I'm just supposing that he has that look of the of a big, tall guy. And so he was on the set, and he said there was a self-proclaimed witch on the set of The 13th Warrior. And she would talk about all of her spiritual stuff, and then she would sing in tongues. And he said it would make the hair on the back of his neck just stand up. Yeah. So we need to understand that not everything, like there are people that believe, and I've heard this even in the church, they kind of go, well, I think that person is operating in the gifts of the Spirit. They just don't know it yet. Some people, they had premonitions maybe before they ever met the Lord. They would see things. They could know that things might happen ahead of time. My wife, Nancy, actually had this uncanny ability to beat me at cards. Now, you might probably think, yeah, those cards are of the devil, Barry. But no, I don't think so. But what was not a good thing was that she could sit there and go, I want right now to get a queen. And she would flip that card and like it was a queen. And she would actually do this thing with people and they would be like, I don't think you can do that again. And she'd say, well, throw the keys of your car on the table here. I bet you I can do it again. And she'd say, I need a five. And flip, and it would be a five. And they would be like, what? She never took their car or anything. But what we need to realize is something. Here's the point, folks. Why am I saying that only a Christian can move in the gifts of the Spirit? Here's why. Because in order to receive the Holy Spirit, in order for the Holy Spirit to live in you, in order for Him to come and take up residence within you, you need to know Jesus. You need to be cleansed of all your sin. That's the whole picture of the temple. You have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. In order for God's true Holy Spirit to come and live in you, you need to first know Christ and know the Father, the one true God. You need to have received His gift of grace in order to be saved. And then what it says, the Holy Spirit then comes in you and fills you up. And it's in the process of Him filling you up that He then gives you these gifts. But if you just have these other gifts before you ever knew the Lord, there's something you need to do. And sometimes it's hard for people to think about it. You need to actually not think, well, that was God, and I just didn't really know Him yet. You need to say, I renounce this stuff in my life, in my past. I repent of it. And I ask you, Lord, to really free me from any of this stuff. And then ask Him to really fill you with His true Spirit. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's an important thing to understand. When we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, we are talking about something that God does within us, the one true God. You need to know Him in order to receive His true gifts. Now, let's go back to the natural and acquired gifts. God has given us both natural and acquired abilities to be used in our lives and in our ministries, but they are not the place of ongoing guaranteed power. The spiritual gifts are much different than just our natural abilities. What are spiritual gifts? If we look at the next slide. Hello? Oh, they're just staying there. Oh. Stay with me, Corey. Eye contact, buddy. What are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are the endowments or special skills given by God through His grace to each member of the body of Christ that enable us to make our unique contribution to the whole. They are not natural talents, but divine abilities that are always given to us by the Spirit. All the gifts, and there are at least 21 basic gifts that we see in Scripture, can be broken down really into three groups. Those three groups are love gifts, word gifts, and power gifts. And we're going to look at those three over the next few weeks. All Christians have at least one spiritual gift. Many will have kind of a cluster. We did some tests before we were meeting yesterday as leadership team, and we all did these tests ahead of time on what our spiritual gifts are. And you kind of see there's these gifts that tend to cluster together, two or three of them, depending on what God's call is in your life. And this is how you understand what you're supposed to do. You understand what you're supposed to do in the church by the gifts that God has given you. Now, you can use your natural talents. I pondered this a bit because I don't want everyone to just say all of a sudden, well, I naturally am administrative and I could do it, but I'm not going to because it's not my spiritual gift. So we can use our natural abilities, but we need to understand that there's a difference between the natural ability to administrate and the spiritual gift of administration. And I'll get into that later on. Okay? What we need to realize, though, is that these things are selected for us by God's Spirit. Okay? And we also need to look at this other group of qualities produced by the Holy Spirit that have to grow alongside us as we exercise the gifts of the Spirit, and that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians 5:22-23. It says, "But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And you can see from that these things are about us. They're about our character. They're about God forming His character within us. And the character of God has to go alongside the gifts that God gives us. The spiritual gifts are what we do for God. They tend to be about the actions, the ministries we're going to be taking, whereas the fruit of the Spirit is about who we are. Amen? Here's some things that you also need to realize. None of us will have all of the 21 spiritual gifts we find in Scripture. You just won't get them all. But you're meant to have all of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. All of them are supposed to be in your life. Amen? The other thing is, you can never misuse the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because if you're exercising the fruits of the Spirit, it's all about the fact that you're not misusing things. You get it? So you can't misuse the fruit, but you can misuse spiritual gifts, and also even the spiritual disciplines can be misused if you're doing it out of a place of a lack of the fruit. If you suddenly aren't exercising the fruit of the spirits as you do these things, they can actually become abusive. We can abuse people. We can have lack of character connected to their use, and they can harm the church. Again, the fruit of the Spirit is about being. The fruit is a byproduct of our ongoing relationship with God. And the gifts are given to actually engage in and further the work of the kingdom. But here's the thing. Both of them come from the same source, one and the same Holy Spirit. Even the fruit of the Spirit is not about us trying really hard to get there. The practices aren't about, the practices themselves, the spiritual disciplines, don't produce the fruit of the Spirit. They are a place where we encounter the actual Spirit of God, and it's the Spirit who transforms us, which is a very different thing. We cannot buy, invent, or even get trained up to produce them, although doing them helps. Okay? So, with that in mind, in Romans 12, 1-8, Paul kind of introduces some concepts about the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit that we also want to look at before we get into them next week. So he says this, and you can read it with me. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then, he says, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want you to understand what he's talking about in one sense in this offering up our body as living sacrifices is connected to this idea of the spiritual disciplines. And as he's doing that, he's saying, because everything he's talking about in this section, the context is the spiritual gifts. We have to remember that. And the spiritual disciplines. And he's saying that if you get this, right there he says, what will you be able to do? To test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Remember what we're saying, what John is saying, what all is that it's the convergence of these things that allows us then to understand and hear the Lord and be able to understand what his will is for your personal life, for the church, and so on. So this is important. This is confirming this concept and idea. For, and this is important here, read it with me out loud. For by the grace given me, and this is Paul saying this, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Do you see there's no room for lone wolf Christianity here? And what is he talking about? That we all have different functions? The gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have different gifts. There it is. According to what? The grace given to us. So you're not earning the gifts. You didn't get them because you're so good. It's God's unmerited favor, his grace upon you, his love for you, and the fact that you have received Christ. You've received all that he did on the cross, that he has forgiven all of your sin. It's his grace. And so now these gifts are real gifts. You're not earning them, but you receive them by grace. I get so excited about that I've lost my place now. So, according to the grace given us, if a man's gift, now here he goes, he's talking about, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in what? Proportion to his faith. Now, well, what this is saying is to us on a basic level is not everybody's prophesying is going to be the same. Some people are going to seem to have more faith for this. They're going to be able to seem to be more accurate, but other people will also have the same gift of prophecy. And it's important that we're not jealous about it. Paul's saying here, look, use it to the proportion of the gift and the grace and the faith that God's given you. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So like I'm saying, he is saying all of these things are given to us through God's grace, through his mercy. That's the only reason they're there. And he says, to offer yourself up as a living sacrifice. In the book, John said that there's one problem with living sacrifices is they tend to crawl off the altar. And that's what he's getting at here. He's saying, look, when you this whole idea of gifts, we have to get it in our mind that they're not given. We didn't earn them. We can't produce them in ourselves. They're from God. He gives them to whomever he chooses in the measure that he chooses. And so, one, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think of yourself. You can't brag about your spiritual gift. If my spiritual gift is teaching, I cannot sit here and tell you in any way, shape, or form that I'm better than anybody else because it's a gift. I didn't do anything to deserve it. And everything comes from his grace. The cross is the level ground where all of us are broken, lost, and hurting, and God has forgiven us, cleansed us. And now he's saying, I'm going to use you where I want to use you. And that's the issue. Are you willing to be used where God wants to use you? Or are you going to be jealous? Like I am of Mike. And Terry, you know, and the that's the point, though. Are we going to sit there and say, God, and he goes into this in other scriptures, God, why didn't you make me one of those people? I want to be like them. And we have to understand that this hurts the heart of God. He's saying, look, number one, if we're all the same thing, the body falls over. It's all lopsided. It's disfigured. It is absolutely useless. And you know what? Some of those things that you think are the lesser gifts, the ones that are not up front, the ones that aren't, you know, seemingly the powerful, cool ones, where those are the most important. And I'm going to tell you something. After 21 years in ministry, I know that's true. The people behind the scenes who sacrificially give of themselves, who go out like Nancy was talking about and do Sunday school, who go up into the baby room and are willing to look after other people's kids, who sacrifice sitting in the pew getting fed themselves in order that they would allow other people to be fed, people maybe that don't know Jesus, that they're more concerned that we fill this place up with people that need Jesus than that they get another piece of bread after they're already full. Those people are the ones that build the church. Can I hear an amen to that? And those are the gifts that we need. We need those people. Desperately need them to step up and not be looking to be something that God hasn't made them. God hasn't gifted them to be. And that's a whole other thing. If we start putting, and I've done it before. See, sometimes we're going to just, out of need, we're just going to put people into boxes. Do you know what I mean by that? We need an administrator and Jim or whatever, there's no real Jim here. Jim's the only guy who put his hand up, but Jim can't put the same colored socks on his feet in the morning, but we're going to make him our administrator. And then we wonder why nothing's getting administrated very well. Am I making my point, though? See, because what we really need is we need the people that have the gift to be the ones that say, I'm okay being who you want me to be. And I'm going to go in and step in and do the things that actually I'm good at, that I'm actually passionate about, and I'm going to step up and take my place in the body. So we see, okay, this idea, don't spend your life trying desperately to be something God did not make you to be. Don't wish for other group gifts.
that haven't been given to you, don't waste your time trying to work in ministry areas that you are not supposed to be working in. And there's the reverse of that. Because this also happens in the church all the time. And I thought this was a massive revelation from this book, is we get mad. See, if I have the gift of evangelism, which is one of my gifts, I get mad at everyone else that's not evangelizing. If you have the gift of helps and you're in there doing the dishes and no one else is, you ever like mutter to yourself, where is everyone else? No, I mean, we have to give our head a shake too. It's like, I don't want to be saying to you, I have the gift of teaching, so after I'm done that, I just get to drink coffee and eat cake. No, there's, you know, get up and give a hand. It doesn't mean we don't help out. It doesn't mean we can't work in an area that isn't our gifting. It doesn't mean we don't jump in and give a hand. But here's the point we have to understand. If I'm looking out at the church and I see a need that's not being met, what God's saying is, don't get mad at the church. Don't get mad that no one else is doing it. What God is saying is, that's how I've gifted you, and I actually want you to step up and meet the need. And so we get mad. It's called, he calls it gift tension. We have gift tension in the church. And that's where we're all sitting there thinking everyone should be just like me. And they should see what I see. And they should know what I know. And they should all do it the way I want them to do it. And that is something that we have to understand is not what God wants. He wants us instead to take our place and understand that we have an interdependence. We need one another. And that's the way he's designed it. And that's what he wants us to be doing, okay? And we can see this when we look at this story about... It's the story of the talents, and I'm a little scared to bring this one up, because I think there's many layers to this story, and one of the worries I have is that as I tell it, you're going to think that if I don't, you know, multiply my talent properly, I'm going to go to hell, which I don't think that's what this is about, but I do think there's an accountability lesson in this that we have to hear. Okay? And so here's the story in Matthew 25, starting at 15 to 18. It says, to one he gave five talents. So we know the story. The master is leaving, and he gives his three servants his money, his estate, in order to invest it. So he says he gave five talents. To one he gave five talents of money, to another two talents, and to another one talent. Each according to what? So you see, he is connecting this to the idea of the gifts of the Spirit. What Paul wrote sounds an awful lot like this, doesn't it? Each according to what they've been given. And notice how he didn't give them all five talents. Our fairness in our current world, we think, well, that doesn't, you know, that's not fair. He gave five talents. And remember, talent is how much money? Yeah, the equivalent is about $1.5 million today. It's equivalent of 20 years' wages at kind of minimum wage or an average salary. So it's a massive amount of money that he gave them, okay? So we have him giving these five talents to one, two talents to another, and one talent to the last one. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the five talents went at once. At once is very important. He didn't ponder what he started using, what he was given immediately. And he put his money to work and gained five more. So also the one with the two talents gained two more. So what did both of those two guys do? They basically doubled his money. One had way more, One had less, but they both did the same thing. They put the talents to work, and the fruit was actually the same. Okay? But the man who had received the one talent, and I'm going to say this, sometimes this is what happens. How many of you ever feel like you're the one talent guy? You know what the one talent guy, he's the guy that says, I can't do anything. I didn't get any gifts. Now, one talent is $1.5 million. But that's the problem. See, he gave $7.5 million to the first guy, right? And so that's what we do. That's what he's talking about, is you sit there and you got your $1.5 million talent, but you look at the $7.5 million talent and say, that's not fair. And then you say, I have nothing to give. Then we take our $1.5 million and we bury it in our backyard. Now, he buries it for a different reason than we might bury it, but the point is clear. He doesn't see what he has. He has no confidence that he can multiply this gift, and he also has a skewed view of the master. He thinks the master is a hard taskmaster, which we will. And he believes that the taskmaster is sows where he does not reap, or reaps where he does not sow. And think about how stupid that is for a second. You're reaping where you didn't sow. Where did you get the $1.5 million? Was that your $1.5 million I gave you? Isn't that sowing? That's the way we are, though, with God. That's what happens to us. So he's just saying, you know what? Here's the thing. He digs a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money in it. And then his master comes back, it says, and the master replied, and this is the thing. He gives the same reply to the five-talent person and the two-talent person. He says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's joy or your master's happiness. The reward is the same. Some people think, oh, no, that guy's got 10 talents now, and the other guy's only got 4, and the other guy's still only got 1. No, all of this was the master's money. What the prize is come and live in my kingdom. Share in everything that I have. Share in all of my happiness. Come, he says, right? Isn't this what he's saying? Share in your master's happiness. I'm going to put you in charge of all kinds of stuff. I'm going to give you way more. And he says it to both of them. Both of them get it. You're accountable. This is the point. You're accountable not for what other people are given. You're accountable for what God gave you. And if you will be faithful with that, then it will multiply and multiply. And that's the point. But if you just never use it, if you fall into that place where I don't have nothing to give, I can't do anything, in a sense, we're denying that we've received anything from the master. We hid it away and we're going to give it back to him without ever using it. And that's when he says, you wicked, lazy servant, so you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that then when I returned, I would have at least received it back with interest. You didn't even put it. You know, there's a safer place than your backyard. And they pay interest. You didn't even do that. Then he says, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has
will be taken from him. Let's all stand up. What's the point of that? Here's the accountability point I want you to get. Use it. Use what he gives you. He has given everybody at least one spiritual gift. We're going to find out what those are. We're going to help you discover what your spiritual gifts are. But when you find out what that is, use it. And the lesson of that is, use it or lose it. Sounds harsh, I know. But I didn't write that part of the book. So let's pray. Let's invite the worship team to come up right now. This is critical, folks, though, because here's what I know from just prayer and thinking about this series. I feel like the Lord, remember a few, would have been a couple Sundays ago, I felt like the Lord said, if you'll take me at my word about this stuff, then I'll take you at your word that you want it. And I think that's what it means to take him at his word, is that we believe that we need to start using them, and if we don't use them, then we won't see all that he's wanting to do in our midst. So as we go into looking at them in the coming weeks and what they all are, and we promise we'll help you to find out what yours are, let's commit this morning that we're not going to bury our gifts in the backyard. We're not going to be jealous about what other people have and what we don't have. We're not going to try and be who we're not. We're not going to be jealous and you know, we're going to instead honor God. Now, I know some of you are thinking, but doesn't it say to eagerly desire the other gifts? I think we can eagerly desire gifts. Pray for it. But sometimes you'll just know. God's saying, no, that's not who I'm making you to be. Or he might give you some. The other thing is God might use you in a given moment. You might not have the gift of healing, but if you're the only Christian around when the car accident happens, probably God is saying, get in there, pray for healing. So God will give you gifts for the moment because of the circumstances. But all of us have a role to play. That's the one that we need to embrace. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we just, this morning, we've heard about your gifts. We've heard what they're not. We heard what they are. We heard that you've asked us to embrace them, that you're not going to give us all of them, that we aren't to be jealous, we aren't to be angry about that. And I just feel like the Lord just said to me right now, tell him, Barry, even the smallest gift is worth a talent. You think it's nothing, but it's like worth $1.5 million, that little thing. Lord, we want to be used by you. We want to receive through the presence of your Holy Spirit the gifts of the Spirit as a body. We will work to really find our place and to begin to exercise those gifts, both inside the church and outside the church. And we need, Lord, the fruit of the Spirit. We cannot do this
if we're going to be proud and full of arrogance, and we're going to be dysfunctional, Lord, we need your fruit growing within us. And we want to commit ourselves to placing ourselves consistently in front of you in our day, loving the presence of the Lord more than all of these other things. Lord, we commit ourselves to that this morning. If you want to commit yourself to that, just say yes right now in your spirit. You can say it out loud, you can say it quietly, but just say yes, Lord. Show us as a church what it means to take you at your word. Getting a prophetic word. I just feel like the Lord just invite people to come up and just share if they have a word right now.
Weeks ago, the Lord showed me this lady. I was sitting behind you, and I looked at her, and I know you're not prophetic. And the Lord just dropped it in my heart, you're going to be a great prophetic person. And there's a lot of you right now, if you look to yourself, none of us will make it. But it's that grace that we're talking about, the gifts and the empowering of the Spirit of God. It's going to just change your life, and you'll be happy.
Three times during this service, the Lord brought me to the scripture that says, whatsoever you ask for in my name, I will give you. And greater things than these will you do. And I really believe that he wants us to demonstrate these gifts as a testimony to the world.
What do you guys think of those gifts or those words? And there's a reason why I wanted to do that is because I felt like I got a word, and then I felt like the Lord just said, but don't say it yet, just let other people come up. And here's what I felt like he said to me. He said, strap on your seatbelts. Because I want to do this. I want to come and pour out my gifts on you. And yes, I think there's going to be people that never thought. See, that's the thing. It's not my natural ability. Sometimes, I'm going to tell you right now, I was not a great speaker. Maybe I'm still not. But the point is that I believe I have the spiritual gift of teaching because it's something that came on me when I put my hand up and said, okay, I'll teach at the United Church, which we were part of at that time. And I prayed and prayed to receive something, and it was like almost the first time I started speaking, something hit me. So it's not my natural ability. God wants to start pouring out gifts, and he's going to take some of the lowest in your mind maybe, but he wants to show his power through you. It's the humble. Lord, we just pray right now, have your way with me. You know, John said, I'm a slave to Christ. Paul said it, but John in the book, he says,
I want to be a slave. I am totally at the will of the Father, and I'm totally at His disposal. Whatever He wants to do with me, I'm His. So this morning, just if that's resonating in your heart, say, yes, Lord, I'm totally at your disposal. I'm yours. I belong to you. Do with me what you will. Do with me what you want. I want the gifts that you have for me. I want to be in the place you want me to be. I want to, Lord, know that I'm right where you're asking me to be. And I just pray, Lord, even before we know what all the gifts are, I just pray you start pouring them out this morning, right here in this place. Begin to pour out your gifts. Even as people are asking, Lord, we pray you would begin to pour out all the diversity of gifts that the body needs. Some of you have had them, but they're dormant. Because when you have the Holy Spirit, in essence, you have the gifts. Now, there's the baptism thing. We'll talk about that next time. But Father, pour it out this morning. How many said amen? Amen. Okay. Let's just let it happen for a little while. Let's just receive it. Don't be anxious.